You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening, for subscribing, and to those who support us on Patreon and any other way that you want to support us. My name is Wes Goldberg. No David Ramil, my usual co-host today, but he'll be with you later tonight with a recap of the Hornets game. So I'm going solo, and I thought I could just talk about something that I've been thinking a lot about lately. A few weeks ago, ESPN's Zach Lowe wrote a piece on Chris Middleton, how Chris Middleton is this rare sort of second star. It wasn't a high draft pick, sort of just came out of nowhere, really built himself into the player he is in Milwaukee. And in that piece, there's an anecdote that really resonated with me and I really thought could apply to this version of the Miami Heat, because, and we knew this story before. We knew that in 2015, Jason Kidd challenged a then young Milwaukee Bucks squad and basically just went to that locker room and said, "Who's the best player here?" And the reports then were that was basically just really awkward and that we didn't really know what Jason Kidd was doing. But there was three guys, really four guys, Middleton, Giannis, Greg Monroe was on the team, and Jabari Parker was on the team then, who all felt like they might have been the best player, and they all had a case, right? Middleton was the vet of all of them and was putting up the best stats to that point. Giannis was the Greek freak, right? He was just freakishly athletic and talented. Greg Monroe, to that point, had been the biggest free agent signing in Bucks history. And then Jabari Parker, of course, was this uber-talented young player, young scorer, picked at the top of the draft. And so all four of those guys thought that they had a right to be sort of anointed as the team's alpha, right? But that had never really been established. And Kidd got a lot of flack for doing that. I'm not about to go on some Jason Kidd rant, you know, how Jason Kidd was misunderstood kind of thing. But I actually thought that this was really interesting, and it was interesting that Zach Lowe in his piece about Middleton brought it back up, you know, almost 4 years later, right? Well, really almost like 3 years later. That ended up being a really big moment for this Milwaukee team. And so I want to read you the little anecdote here. In the winter of 2015, Kidd sensed an unspoken tension as Middleton, Antetokounmpo, Monroe, and Jabari Parker felt out a hierarchy. He wanted it in the open. He interrupted a film session and asked every player on the roster, one by one, who was the best among them. Quote, "It was awkward," Middleton said. Most nominated Middleton, but Antetokounmpo refused to go along. Quote, "He was stubborn," Monroe says. Quote, "Chris was better than," Antetokounmpo says. Man, I'm having a hard time with that. Middleton and Antetokounmpo ratcheted up the physicality, defending each other in practice. We were fighting for the top spot, and we were almost actually fighting, Antetokounmpo says. I would come home with bruises and scratches. Now, you might be wondering, why am I bringing this up? What does that have to do with the Heat? I think the Heat are in a really similar situation right now where, okay, Dwayne Wade's the guy, right? Because he's Dwayne Wade, because of what he means to this franchise, because of what he means to these younger players, how guys like Winslow and Josh Richardson and all these guys look up to Dwayne Wade and have been very open about that. But Dwayne Wade's not going to be here forever. This is his last season. He's the guy that takes over at the end of the games. But besides that, nobody else in the Heat has really stepped up. If I were to ask you, go one by one to Heat fans on Twitter, let's say, who is the best player on the Miami Heat, there's a chance I get four or five different answers, legitimately. You know, I think some people would say Josh Richardson. Some people, like David, would still say maybe Goran Dragic. I would at this point say Justice Winslow, and I think some fans would agree with me. Some fans would still say Hassan Whiteside, right, because of just the raw numbers that he could put up. And then over the last, I don't know, month, Dwayne Wade has put up a pretty good case of being Miami's best player, at least most important player at this point with the way he's been able to close these games. Nobody has really stepped up besides Dwayne Wade, and I get it. It's Wade's last dance. There is that sort of overshadowing things. I don't want to say limiting guys like Winslow and Richardson, because I do think that overall Dwayne Wade's presence has helped those guys. It's been a benefit to them, and they've talked about, you know, being able to watch him and learn from him. You've seen Josh Richardson actually take some of Dwayne Wade's offensive moves. Justice Winslow, I think, said that he has learned patience running the point guard spot from Dwayne Wade, and how to approach that position from Dwayne Wade. So maybe this doesn't have to happen now. I'm not saying that all of a sudden Eric Spoelstra has to go into that locker room and say, all right, who's the best? Which one of you guys is my new alpha? Doesn't need to happen right now, right? They're in the playoff hunt. They're kind of, you know, whatever this is. This needs to happen, though, soon. Something like this needs to happen soon, where when Wade retires, something happens in that locker room where those guys look around and they say, all right, who's number one right now? Who's the number one guy? Who is the top option? Who is the alpha here? That needs to be established. That kind of thing matters in the NBA. Who takes the shot at end of games next year? Who? I don't know. If you go into that Heat locker room, let's say Eric Spoelstra does this, and he goes into the Heat locker room. I talked about going around Heat Twitter and asking who the best player is. But let's say Eric Spoelstra goes into that locker room. Who says that they're the best player? Hassan Whiteside says he's the best player, right? Deion Waiters says he's the best player, probably. I would imagine Goran Dragic, as quiet as he is, he's also extremely confident. I would bet that he thinks he's the best player, although he may defer just for the sake of politics. I don't know what Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson would say. I legitimately have no clue. I talked to Justice Winslow in December, and this came up. I think this quote was in the profile that I wrote for the Step Back on Winslow. If you haven't checked that out, I'd recommend you check it out. Not because it was awesome, but he gives some really good insight, and his high school coach, Harold Baber, gave some really good insight on sort of Winslow's makeup. But Winslow brought up this idea that he didn't want to put a label on being a point guard or whatever it was, right? But he did mention that the team's best player tends to just have the ball in his hands now. And then almost immediately after he said that, he goes, not that I'm the best player or anything, and sort of backtracked on that. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, like, man, just say you're the team's best player. It's okay. And look, the Heat are young, but that's why I'm and so they don't want to step on toes, right? They're not ready to do that. But that's why I'm saying they need to kind of get ready. And what Jason Kidd did was he approached this locker room and made them uncomfortable. And sometimes you have to get uncomfortable to find this new ceiling, to hit this next step. Like, we saw this between Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, right? After that first year they lost to the Dallas Mavericks, Dwayne Wade realized, like, hey, you know what? I've got to relinquish this whole thing to LeBron. He's the number one guy. He's the best player in this locker room today. So I'm going to step back. I am going to be the Robin to his Batman. And at that point, Dwayne Wade was light years better than anybody on the Heat right now. So if he could do it, somebody on the Heat needs to do it. But I'm not even as much worried about some guy being, like, feeling like he was slighted. I'm more worried about who is the guy that's going to say, no, I'm number one. Which guy in that locker room is pushing the envelope here and deserves to be it? Like, Whiteside can come out and say, I'm number one, and everybody's be like, roll their eyes, be like, all right, man. Deion Waiters, same thing. Hey, I'm the best guy in the locker room. Okay, whatever, dude. It kind of has to be Josh Richardson or Justice Winslow. Right? It kind of has to be Josh Richardson or Justice Winslow. I mean, that is very much like what happened between Middleton and Giannis here, right? They got along pretty well, and then all of a sudden practices just basically turned into a brawl. And it's hard to imagine that happening between Josh and Justice because they're basically best friends. But don't you think that that sort of fire, that sort of connection, that sort of relationship might be able to push them forward? This is something that needs to happen. The Heat aren't, more than likely, they're not going out this summer and trading for that guy, right? The other thing is, like, if you make that Jimmy Butler deal in the beginning of the year, and that would have likely included Josh Richardson, all of a sudden Butler comes in, all right, I'm top dog. It makes it easy. And by the way, just because one of these guys say they're top dog doesn't or tries to become that doesn't mean they will be. They've got to, once you kind of make that statement, you kind of have to back it up. But I do think a guy like Winslow or Richardson could back it up. And moreover, I think Winslow could back it up more than Richardson. We've read a number of things. David has talked about this a number of times, how Josh is just not wired that way. And that's okay, right? That's all right. It turns out Chris Middleton is fine with that role too. So that's okay. But I need then Justice Winslow to say, I'm the number one guy. I need him to be comfortable saying it. I need him to force the issue. And that's what the Heat are going to need. The Heat are going to need that. The Heat are going to need that. Because you know who thinks he's the number one guy? Luka Doncic. You know who thinks he's the number one guy? Ben Simmons, actually. James Harden, he thinks he's the number one guy. All these big, oversized point guards. Winslow needs to get in that conversation. To do that, for the Heat to be better than they are, Winslow needs to be there, and Winslow needs to force the issue. And look, with the strides he's taken this year in his development, he's getting the jump shot, he's shooting from all over and scoring from all over the floor. He's, you know, the defense is right there. The ball handling is still really good. I think his ceiling is higher than Richardson's, and ultimately I think that's what's going to matter. And again, the Heat probably not going out and just sort of making this decision for them this summer by trading one of these guys or some of these guys for an all-star. Maybe that happens and we don't have to worry about this, but if it doesn't happen, then in that locker room, this is not up to Spoelstra, it has nothing to do with Pat Riley or Andy Ellsberg or any cap magic or anything like that. It has to do with that locker room and one of these guys stepping up and saying, all right, Dwayne Wade's gone, I got this. And that's what needs to happen. All right, that'll do it for my rant on that. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about tonight's game versus Charlotte and then the fact that the Heat just made this weird move on its G League team. So that's coming up after this break. All right, so a big game between the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat tonight. Big playoff implications. This is the biggest game for the Heat since, I guess, they lost to the Detroit Pistons a couple nights after the All-Star break. So Charlotte and Miami both going into the game at 29-34. The Heat are basically, they're kind of just a game out of eighth place in the East right now, which is insane. I basically had written them off, but nice win against Brooklyn, a big win against the Warriors. Sort of just made up for those losses to Phoenix and Detroit. And so now all of a sudden they're back in the mix here. And if they had beaten Detroit or even just Phoenix, they would be in the playoffs right now. But same record as Charlotte going into Wednesday night. However, the Hornets are 2-0 against the Heat. So they own the tiebreaker right now. But there's four games in this season series. First one, the third one is tonight. The last one is March 17th, so a couple weeks from now. And these are going to be big games for Miami if they really do want to make this playoff push. And look, I like how Miami matches up with Charlotte. It's kind of weird that they haven't been able to beat them yet this season. Kemba Walker's just had really good nights against them. But if you can limit Kemba Walker, and I think the Heat can. Like, I know James Harden scored 58 points against the Heat, but I actually thought their defense was pretty good against them, as weird as that sounds. Like, I really like Justice Winslow, the way he guarded him. Like, there's nothing you can do when Harden is just making impossible shots. Like, you can't blame the defense for that. Like, people are coming at me on Twitter. I tweeted something to the effect of, I thought the defense was good on the perimeter, and people were coming at me like, are you kidding? He scored 58. There's more goes into that, guys. It's freaking James Harden. Like, that double step back three that he takes, you can't guard that. I don't care who you are. Unless you're Giannis or Kevin Durant and you're like 7'2 and you're guarding perimeter guys, you can't guard that. So, I like how the Heat recently have defended scoring guards like Curry, like Harden recently. They do a lot of trapping. They'll rotate Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow. They'll throw Rodney Magruder on those guys a couple of times, but I really like it when Richardson and Winslow is against them. And so if you can put those guys against Kemba Walker, play some zone. You've got Derrick Jones Jr. back to anchor that zone, that 2-3 zone. That'll help. I think the Heat win. I really do. I think the Heat win, and I kind of think they win pretty easily. Charlotte's 3-7 in their last 10 games. They're not really good. Like, I don't know who their second best player is. Maybe Jeremy Lamb. I don't know. Like, I don't know. And Kemba Walker is fine, but, you know, the Heat have the scouting report on him. How many times can Kemba Walker... Like, Kemba Walker's good. But I don't know how many... I don't know if Kemba Walker can beat a team 3 or 4 times in a season single-handedly. Like, I don't know if he's that good. James Harden is that good. So, I kind of give the edge to the Heat tonight. We'll see what ends up happening. In other news, the Heat signed Jarrett Jack to the Sioux Falls Skyforce, their G League affiliate. He basically replaces Briante Weber, who just recently signed in Greece. So good for Briante, getting that money overseas. But Jarrett Jack is 35. He played last season with the Knicks. He tried out for the Pelicans in training camp. Didn't make the Pelicans roster. And have you seen their point guards? So this is kind of weird. I don't totally sign off on this, but they didn't ask me. So, and longtime listeners of the show know that Jarrett Jack is one of my least favorite players to watch. It's nothing personal against him. I just, he's like, he thinks he needs to have the ball way more than he actually needs to have the ball. And that annoys me. There was a period of time where, like, his usage rating was the same as Steph Curry's when Jarrett Jack was playing for the Warriors. And that was always weird. And that was before Steph was Steph. But even everybody watching was like, dude, what are you doing? This guy's like way better. Give him the ball. You know, he's got like this weird Stephon Marbury thing where he just pounds the ball over and over and over again with no discernible direction. But luckily I don't watch a ton of Skyforce games, so I'm not going to have to deal with it. But I just hope that the Heat don't end up bringing him up at some point. Like, I just don't, I hope that this doesn't end up as like, hey, Jarrett Jack is signing with the Miami Heat at some point as their backup point guard. Even as a backup, no thanks. Hard pass. Anyway, that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Connect with us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. David will have the recap for you tonight, and we'll catch you then. Thanks for joining me.